My Life. We've got Gavin on the line there, and the very important topic there, RHDV. Good morning to you, Gav. Can you hear us?
Morning, Ivan, and to the listeners. Yes, I hear you loud and clear. Thank you.
Lovely stuff, man. We can hear you loud and clear too. The RHDV topic has come up, and it's been around for a while, and not too sure that everyone is getting to hear what they need to hear there, and definitely precautions and all sorts that need to be taking place there that maybe aren't happening. We need to start speeding things up a little bit there. Maybe you can intro yourself there and then go straight into the topic and tell us a little bit more on RHDV and what it is, how dangerous it is, how fast it spreads. And yeah, Gav, morning.
Morning. Okay, so Gavin Gregorin here, chairman of Gauteng Rabbit Breeders Association. Just a little bit of back info. My rabbitry was one of the first rabbitries that was impacted with RVHD. We unfortunately did lose our entire herd, and that has pretty much what's prompted me to start an absolute nationwide awareness campaign of the dangers of RVHD and how quickly it spreads. To give the listeners a little bit of information, not going to be too intense around that, but a bit of information. RVHD was created to eliminate the wild rabbit population problems in Australia, and unfortunately it has now spread worldwide. It's a horribly insidious disease that kills within 72 hours of the rabbit being infected. That's how serious it is.
Yeah, that's very scary, and we're so sorry to hear about your losses there. But unfortunately, yeah, it seems like it did a little bit more than what it was meant to do there.
Yeah, you know, but the scary thing is that the infection vectors are so numerous that to try and stop the disease in its tracks is just about impossible. And what we trying to accomplish is awareness, protection of animals on a whole lot of platforms. This particular chat would help to get people out there aware of exactly what's going on and what they themselves can do to protect any domestic rabbits they have. That's the main point of protection. The wild rabbit population, you know, unfortunately, there's not much that can be done there. You know, it's just to try and stop the progression of the disease, to try and protect the wild rabbit population. And what we petitioning government to do is to put a, you know, and I hate the word lockdown because it brings back too many memories from COVID. But to put a lockdown on the movement of rabbits nationally, and you know, without rabbits being moved around, you know, from rabbitries to pet homes and from rescues to pet homes, and people picking up stray rabbits on the side of the road and taking them into a new area, that's going to be the one way to slow the progression down.
Yeah, no, most definitely there. Just a quick one there then. What are the symptoms? Because I'm sure that there are some people out there that are not even aware of it, and it's probably the first time they're hearing about it. What is the sort of the highlights that you do there in picking this up if your bunny has got it?
So this is a bit of a difficult one. Unfortunately, only about 5% of rabbits that succumb to RVHD actually present with symptoms. And that is because it's hemorrhagic. So hemorrhagic being bleeding, it's the internal organs hemorrhage, and in that hemorrhaging you then get blood loss through the nose, through the ears, and through the anus. But only about 5% of rabbits present with those with severe symptoms. The balance of rabbits would present with symptoms of increased temperature, lethargy, and loss of appetite. The unfortunate thing with those three particular symptoms is they also indicative of a variety of other diseases. So what we're suggesting to people is if that you're unsure about anything at any time, pop off to your local vet. We've done a huge information drive to the veterinary practitioners nationally to make them aware of it as well, because a lot of them are totally unaware. And the reason behind that unawareness is because of the lack of information coming down from National Veterinary Services.
Yeah, no, we understand that. So we also, the dreaded disease can be carried by insects and flies, as simple as that as well, too. So one wouldn't even really know. It doesn't come knocking on your front door. It just sneaks up upon you there.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the seriousness of this particular disease. I read an article last night published by a professor from Australia, where they did studies on the RVHD2 strain of the virus, and part of that article is that the virus has a out of body, out of host efficacy of up to 110 days. So the virus can survive out in the open without being in a host for up to 110 days. Another very interesting part of that article was a lifespan in the digestive tract of a fly for up to 9 days. And that just takes the infection vectors beyond all realms of possibilities. It's the rats, it's the vehicles, a vehicle driving down the road over an infected feces and driving along to the next spot. That's what makes this disease as insidious as it is.
Right, Gavin. So that is pretty scary, because it can absolutely sneak up upon you there. What sort of precautions have we got in place? And I know you said earlier we'd like to get the government involved as well, and I see you've already done a lot of talking to the veterinaries, and some of them, yeah, we also found locally weren't quite aware of it. And then, of course, there's that all-important vaccination.
Yeah, that's a serious sticking point in just about everybody's throats at the moment. There's only one vaccine that has been allowed for importation licensed for importation at this time under the Section 21, which is emergency importations. The hiccup behind that particular vaccine is the cost implication. Costs are ranging from 500 rand to 1,200 rand per individual rabbit. So what we are asking, and what we're driving really, really hard, is one of two options. Either to issue a second Section 21 license to allow us to import a more affordable vaccine for the masses, and the second alternative is that OVB gets involved and they actually manufacture a vaccine locally, which is 100% relevant to the strain that we have, and those two sides of the coin, unfortunately, are being held up by red tape, if we can put it as bluntly as that. But it is something that we are driving, and it's something that relevant parties, people who are assisting us with this, are sending hundreds upon hundreds of emails on a daily basis to try and speed the projects along.
Yeah, that's the scary part, and of course the cost, we discovered that ourselves as well, is quite significant there, but all very worthwhile. But if you've got a whole host of bunnies, then it could be quite expensive. So if we can get that rolling, where we get the second 21 in, and the passing of a second and get those vaccinations in. Just quickly, the individuals who suspect they are HDV as in their local rabbit, their little pet or communities, what steps can they take? Is there a contact number they can dial, or what is the quickest way that they can get that reported, or should they go to their local vet and get it reported there?
Okay, so there's a couple of directions. First and foremost, RVHD is an internationally listed notifiable disease. So anybody who has the suspicion of RVHD in the area has to, by law, report to state veterinary services.
Okay.
On the back of that question, state veterinary services are totally overrun at the moment. Totally overrun. We've got avian influenza, foot and mouth, swine flu, now RVHD on top of that. So a lot of the state vets out on the road, and I don't want to knock them because they really are trying their absolute level best.
Yeah.
Are struggling to get out. So the other option is to make contact with your local vet. Your local vet then has the authority to follow a reporting chain and send sampling off to either ARC or Honestapoort for testing. What we're requesting from the public is once that is being done, is to please make contact with us so that we can post it onto our RVHD hotline. We've created a WhatsApp platform for national reporting purposes, and then we can then try and follow up with state veterinary services if they're not getting, if the public are not getting joy from them. We can try follow up with state veterinary services from that area to try and point them in the right direction. Guys, please pop out there. We have got a reported case. Vets will come back to us and say, listen, we have already looked after that one. Great stuff. Thank you very much. So we're trying very hard to set up a symbiotic relationship between ourselves and national veterinary services. They help us by feeding information on positive reports down back to us, and we're trying to assist them by pointing them in the right direction.
Lovely stuff. That covers it pretty well. And the good news is there that we've place it onto our page as well, the hotline, and we'll get those details from you just towards the end of this. Are there any misconceptions about RHDV, and how can we dispel these myths to raise public awareness?
This has come up a lot on the various platforms over the last 2 weeks, and the single biggest misconception is this whole conspiracy theory going around that we're just trying to make a noise to put fear into people. That's the single biggest misconception. I think once people do a little bit of research, or they read a couple of the posts that we've put out on our hotline Facebook page, that they realize the seriousness of this. The second biggest misconception is that if, as a rabbit owner, breeder, you throw copious amounts of medication at the rabbit, you're going to be able to fix it. Unfortunately not. There is zero cure for RVHD. Once an unvaccinated animal is infected, it is going to die. And that sounds harsh.
It is.
That sounds harsh, but that's the reality.
Yeah, that's the real reality behind it there, and that's where your other important point comes up, as moving bunnies around. At this stage of the game, we should keep them where they are and not cross boundaries, because that's one quick way of spreading.
Yeah, that's got to be the drive. It absolutely has to be the drive nationally by the general population, by people who have got rabbits, by government, by any structure who wants to get involved with protecting our natural resources, number one, the indigenous rabbit species in the country, and also protecting a burgeoning industry within the agricultural space, which is rabbit farming for consumption. It's a burgeoning market, and it's an alternative protein stream. And if we don't do something now, we've got people who have lost, are potentially losing, and are going to lose their livelihoods. And that's the other side of the coin. A lot of people won't want to hear that, but that's the reality of the agricultural space.
Yes, and we make a living out of that as well too. So we've got to look at it from all aspects. And it's the same as the chicken, the hen, and the eggs story that's going around as well. Look, we can't be negative about the whole thing. It's a very scary thing, and we've got to really react to it. Can you relate to any sort of success stories? Are we getting, is there some movement? Are we getting the word out? Anything you can relate to there?
Well, what I can relate to positively is the feedback from a reporting perspective, and that's our single biggest drive at the moment, is to track in what direction the outbreak is heading. So we're having very, very good success with our campaigns to get people aware and get them to report. That's the one positive. That we are actually now in a position. We've got a map up on our website and on our Facebook page that shows exactly the location of every single report that we have received and the reports that the local vets have received, and we pin it on that map just to create awareness to people that if you're in that particular area, be careful, because we've got a report from that area. Institute okay. your biosecurity. You know, don't go visit your neighbor who's got rabbits. Don't pop off to the pet shop where there's rabbits for sale. Don't go to a bunny hugging farm where they got rabbits that kids can pick up, and just start isolating your individual rabbits as a starting point. From a biosecurity perspective, the most important word is going to be F10, which is a veterinary level disinfectant that has the capability of killing the RVHD virus. Like the parvovirus in dogs, the RVHD virus itself is very, very difficult to kill. And F10 is the one that has been proven to do so. So once again, the scare of COVID, going back to sanitizing shoes, sanitizing your hands, sanitizing the enclosure that the rabbit is in. And that's going to be the way until we can put an end to this, or alternatively get a vaccine in at a very, very, very affordable price. Just quickly on the vaccine, to dispel any myths or anything around that, the vaccine is not a one-off, unfortunately. It does need a booster annually, and the vaccine is not 100% preventative. It purely will assist the animal in not succumbing to the disease. It's exactly the same scenario with the COVID vaccine.
Right. Now, that's very promising there, and one cannot be too cautious. Rather, take those precautions like the F10 and that. Even if you're not in an area or whatever, take the precautions, and you'll be playing safe there. Well, we're running a little bit high on time there. We can go for a minute or two more there. So I'm going to allow you to put in your last sort of message to our listeners and that. And, of course, there's going to be a follow-up, and we're going to be posting onto our pages as well. And then as you send the information to us, we'll post it out there. And there will be a podcast of this available early next week as well, and we'll send you the link so that you can use that for people that are not aware of it. Any last words from you there? And we really do appreciate you sharing the information with ourselves and the listeners.
Ivan, yeah, thank you for that. Appreciate the opportunity. For me, in closing, I would stress the importance, the absolute importance of reporting anything suspicious, and we have to rely on the public, because they drive around a lot more than we do. That would be first and foremost on my list. Second on my list would be to get the message out to as many people as is humanly possible, and finally on my list is have a chat to your local vet, your local state vet, and more importantly your local government representative, your local councillor. And let's get the public involved to put pressure on the powers that be to actually get involved in this. That would be, you know, if you've got one person knocking on a door and you've got 10,000 people knocking on a door, you tend to get different results.
For sure. There are no lovely stuff. So it's the reporting from the public that's very important, and get the message out to as many of your friends and rabbit lovers as what you can. And, of course, stay in contact with your local veterinary. Gavin, it's been a very interesting, very important message I think we've got across. We'll make the podcast available, and we will do a follow-up at a later stage there. And I thank you for passing that on. And I'm sure that we've already touched quite a few people. And those that are not aware or weren't aware most definitely can now start taking the necessary precautions.
Great stuff, Ivan. Thank you once again very much for the opportunity. Look forward to chatting to you again soon.
Lovely stuff. And we'll stay in touch on WhatsApp so that I can pass any information on to our listeners as well. Thanks, Gavin. Cheers to you. And we'll chat again shortly.
Bye now.
Cheers. That's Gavin Gregorin, and he has given us a lot of valuable information there on the virus that's going around. That's the RHDV. And, of course, we will keep our listeners as posted as what we can. And you can look at the Wild Coast page as well. There's lots of information that you that will assist you in this.